Good morning, everyone. For each of us, we have the opportunity of looking at life and time in different ways. To grow spiritually is to know that there's a choice. To know that outer events are not what's real. Our perception of reality determines how we conceive outer events. So, in that sense, when we live in divine reality, we're looking for the meaning of each moment, to immerse ourselves in it, the divine meaning of each moment, that we can be most present in it, and that we can be who we are. We lose sight of the fact that there is a choice. Very often, we think that events determine ourselves. This is a stage in development for us, of our understanding of how reality is created, because there is no reality out there. There are waves of creation happening at all times, and they come from inside our consciousness, and they project outward, and we draw events to ourselves, and we draw people to ourselves, and that's reality. But because we have gotten so accustomed to feeling immersed in and thinking that physical reality is out there, we don't think like this. Some of you undoubtedly have read or been exposed to teachers who have advised you to create your own reality, or at least that it's possible. And this is true. And so in each moment, really, being on the earth as an embodied soul, we need to ask ourselves the question, what reality do we want to create? Not what reality is happening to us, but what reality do we want to create? Sometimes it's very difficult to extricate ourselves from the belief that things are happening to us. Very difficult, because events can be very dramatic and very heart-wrenching and very tragic, very difficult. And so then, understandably, emotions are our response, because that's what emotions are, a response to pain and pleasure. And we think things are happening to us, but always, if we have a commitment, or to the extent we have a commitment to a spiritual life, then we ask God, the Divine Oneness, how can I participate in creating a different reality? What is it that needs to happen from me? That attitude of creation, being the creator of life, being responsible, brings us divine guidance. And that's what it's all about, really. Living in the world, not as a separate self, but with divine guidance from within your own being. That's what it's all about. When difficult events happen to us, and they happen to everyone, we have the choice then of reacting to the event or creating a different event through our perception. Perhaps it's not possible to change the immediate circumstances, but it is possible to know that the principle of like attracting like, or the principle of resonance, brings to us what we picture as outer reality. Resonance is vibrational. It's not something you can see. Sometimes it's something you can feel. But it is vibrational, which means that the holistic picture of the universe in which all parts are interacting with each other. Holistic means that we are interacting with all potential realities at all times. And so, if we are devoted to furthering our own growth or furthering the growth of the world or both, we ask for guidance about how to do that. Seems like I'm giving a talk. Well, no one is more surprised than me. I had intended something completely different this morning. So I will make a graceful segue into what I had intended here, because this was for the benefit of those who have come this morning. My words have been designed to reach those of you who needed to hear them. They were not my expectation when I arrived here. My expectation and how these words are connected have to do with the events of this past week, the events that have happened in a tragic way to many people, the events of the bombings in Nigeria and in Egypt. So out of those events, I was going to talk with you, and this is part of it, what I've been saying. When you respond to an event, you have a choice about how to respond. You can become numb. You can feel small. You can feel angry. You can feel that God isn't present in the world. God is someplace else. You can feel sorrow. You can feel any or all of the above. So when we look at tragic events, such as the ones this past week that have happened to so many people, I think, in addition to whatever emotion may be created through interacting with those events, the question, similar to what I was saying earlier, needs to be to the divine for guidance. What can I do to help? That's the question. It's always the question. The question is one of service to the earth, to life, and to oneself, because there's no separation. So what can I do to help is not necessarily an activity. It's an inner state. What could my inner state be so that I could help the world in a way that would alleviate, transform, remove, or reduce these tragic events that affect the lives of so many people? What can I do to help? And consciousness may say, well, I'm just one person out of billions, so there's not much I can do. But that's not true. And so this is our meditation for today. What can I do to help? What can I do to help the world through my own being? What can I do to help liberate the truth of who I am? What can I do to be more present in love? What can I do? Responding with compassion and sorrow to a tragic event is important. But what can I do to help is a contribution to making that event less likely. And it mainly happens through the state of our own being in interaction with all other beings. So when I said earlier, we have a choice, here's an example of a choice. What can I do to help? In any situation, what can I do to help? What can I do to help this, whatever tragedy has occurred, turn into something good? Bring forth the good. This is, after all, why we're here. So I'd like to spend some time now in silence, meditating on each of us, on our own heart, with the question of what can I do to help? And also to locate any places where you feel you can't help, or you're too small to help, or you're too busy to help, or you're too tired to help. All of which are not about being, they're about doing. Being is being. You don't have to do anything. You need to be who you are. I'd like to spend some time with you with this question of what can I do to help in the presence of the sorrow and tragedy that's been generated this week, and with the idea that the answer to this question is love. That love and the expansion of love is the answer to this question. Sometimes it's easier to begin in a more local context. You could say, what could I do to help? How can my being help your family? Or you could say, what can I do for the people in this room here, some of whom I know and some whom I don't know? That's a good one, because your helping doesn't depend on who you know. It depends only on your heart and what it desires. Try to see if you have doubts about your being itself, that you're not good enough, you're not pure enough, you're not loving enough. Because helping that I'm speaking of is not about doing, it's about being, and it's about a commitment to being, a commitment to being what you truly are, that needs to be reconnected with over and over and over again. What can I do to help? When we do this meditation, the purpose is to allow love to expand. And so at the same time, we each must see where we're not willing to allow love to expand. Love is a circle. So what's blocked in one place with one person affects the rest of the circle. And that circle includes yourself. It's not just for others. If yourself is eliminated from love, it affects the rest of the circle. When we love because we are love, not because someone has been deserving of love, not because they've been nice to us, not because they haven't hurt us, not because of anything except we are committed to addressing the needs of the world through our own being. We are committed. Love conveys a sense of joy. One could say it's part of love, the joy of being love. And in its presence, other feelings move to the background, perhaps not disappearing entirely, but they move into the shadows. Can you hold it in your heart that you are large enough to love all? to love all, or do you believe that you can only love some? This is how we liberate the world from the tragedies that have taken place this week. We liberate our own being that is love for all. It's not a debate about love for all, it is, because it's part of the universal oneness. The universal oneness is love for all. This music that you're listening to is a hymn salute to the Divine Mother. That is the unity of all through love. The being of the Mother is the oneness, is unity in love. So begin with your family, or begin with your group of friends, or begin with people you know and expand outward. See if you're willing to get larger. Your soul makes no distinction between yourself and the universe. Only your mind makes that distinction. Your soul says, "I am the universe. The universe is me." Your mind says, "I am separate and have to take care of myself. I have to protect myself from harm. I have to make sure that I'm careful." The Divine Mother, that is the oneness, lives in your heart, lives in every heart, because there is no heart that's separate from the universe. None. Only the mind makes us believe that we are separate. And so for the next few minutes, I ask you to bring your focus to this room here and the group of people here, and feel your love for those you know and those you don't know. Feel your heart wanting to be love for those here. This is the choice we make in this moment and in each moment. Not to love because of outer circumstance, not to be who we are because of outer circumstance, but to be who we are because we are, because our existence tells us to, because it's why we're here, to be who we are. It is the imperative of our soul that wants to express on this plane. If you would like a mantra to take with you into any situation of difficulty in relationship with another, a mantra that, if you practice, can take you to the place that we're talking about, it says, "There is only one. There is only one." If you are looking into the eyes or having an interaction with someone that is difficult, painful, hurtful, whatever it might be, there is only one. It's for you to feel and know, will take you to the place of truth. there is only one. All our lives are interconnected. Those we love, those we dislike, those we hurt, those who hurt us, we are all interconnected. And so when we go to the place of there is only one, we begin to broadcast to all of the souls we're connected with, love. There is only one here. There is only one of us. And in any situation where there are other feelings, we can go to that place of healing. Please take another couple of minutes to be with yourself in quiet, and then I want to share some more with you about this, with our eyes open. There are two very common difficulties in living from the standpoint of oneness. At this time, on the earth, at this time means in this minute. It doesn't mean always. One is that we have often lost our ability to distinguish between our mind and our heart. And so safety then becomes not what our heart feels, but what our mind knows. And we gravitate towards that safety, thinking that it's real safety when it's not. We gravitate towards it, and we think we're trying to find more love, but in practice, what we're doing is trying to feel safe through the habitual patterns of staying connected to our mind rather than our heart. So, trust has to develop in the heart's knowing rather than the mind's knowing. Trust. And we have something to do about that. To choose about that. It can feel like a risk. We can make the choice anyway. But trust in the heart's knowing, rather than what the mind says, is key to spiritual growth and to the growth of the world in peace. So, over time, and in the presence of less light, spiritual light than is present currently on the earth. We have, as human beings, developed an attachment to our mental process, but the primary issue is safety. We give ourselves all other kinds of reasons, but the real issue is safety. It makes us feel safe. Nevertheless, the heart is present as a way of knowing and experiencing reality. And its force as a definer of reality is very great. But here is the second issue. Most of us are used to thinking of ourselves as much smaller than we are, much smaller. And so we give credence to our present view, our narrative, our personal story of what life has been like. We give credence to that based on what we know to be our history. We establish a narrative, a storyline about who we are based on our experience in life. But the soul is not based on our experience in life. The soul is based on our eternal knowing. And so the other part of the choice that we make, one part being to trust the heart's knowing instead of the mind's desire for safety, to trust the heart's knowing, and the other part being the willingness and the feeling of possibility to live as a soul, a upon the earth rather than as a personal narrative. As a personal narrative, we can find all kinds of reasons to do or not do certain things. We can justify them endlessly based on what things have happened, what things have been done to us, and so on. But none of that relates to the soul, none of it. The soul knows what it knows because it is part of God. And again, it comes down to trust and safety. Do we each feel safe to live on the earth as a soul? Do we feel ready? Do we feel that it's real? I mean, many of us use words, spiritual words, even this word, soul, and we hold it to be true in principle, but that doesn't mean in the moments of difficulty it's a living reality. In our thoughts it's a reality, but in the practice. So this is the stage that we are at as a collective humanity, the stage of making the choice about how we want to live, whether from the mind as a priority or from the heart as a way of knowing, and whether from the personal narrative, which is the personality, or from the soul's knowing, which is the eternal wisdom of our inner being. Some of you may not call it the soul, you can call it your deeper being, you can call it whatever you like. But you are here now, beloved ones, to make this choice. How do you want to live? And it gets made in every moment, especially in the moments of difficulty. In every moment, how do you want to live? We comfort ourselves from choosing to live in our minds and repeating thoughts that we're familiar with. Even painful thoughts create a sense of comfort because they're familiar. You wouldn't think that they would create a sense of comfort, but they do. They're the same familiar, comfortable, painful thoughts. Paradox. So thoughts create a sense of comfort. But to get larger, to be larger, is to live with a sense that something else is possible. And at this time in our history, when light and darkness are manifesting in polarities upon the earth, the events of this past week being the manifestation of strong forces of darkness and the awakening of the heart in many places counteracting that, the awakening of the heart. We choose how we want to live in each moment. And some of us choose to not believe that we have a choice. That belief that we don't have a choice is the presence of illusion. It's the presence of habit, of feeling that reality defines us. Sometimes it's the presence of darkness wanting things to stay the same, wanting us to continue to focus in the wrong direction. We have a choice moment to moment of how we interpret events and how to respond. And it involves getting larger, and it involves feeling the desire and the willingness to put into practice. There is only one. I am here to help. There is only one. The ego doesn't hold that to be true. The soul holds that to be true. The ego self is involved with personal history. The soul is involved with eternal truth, desiring to manifest on the earth, not someplace else, here, now, your soul and why you've incarnated. And if you have children, why they've incarnated now, is to be the representatives of the incoming current of life coming from the soul to the earth. That's why children are coming into bodies now, to be the wave of the future. But we have to live it. We have to choose it. And especially when we get entangled in the familiar, painful thoughts, the comfortable, familiar, painful thoughts, we have to choose something different. And that requires courage. It requires honesty to see where we're willing and where we're not willing to let go of a point of view. Really, it involves a conversation with God to ask to be shown, where am I holding out? Where I say, this is what I want to do. I want to be loving. I want to be in unity with others. But in reality, I want to hold on to my feelings of being hurt. I want to hold on to my feelings of judgment. That's the personality speaking when I say reality. It's not the deeper reality. The deeper reality that we're all in is the soul wanting, our soul, our deeper being wanting to express on the earth. The personal self says, I feel entirely justified in feeling the way I do. There's nothing else I could possibly feel. So in these meditations that are kind of short and interspersed with my talking around them and through them, what I'm hoping for is that you have a little bit of acquaintance with what feels true about what I'm saying and where you feel, no, I can't do this. You know, that kind of honesty. No, I don't see how this applies to my particular situation. That's really the point that I'm trying to bring the soul's reality into life as it exists presently, not out there, but here. So I'm going to put the music on again, and we'll sit for a little bit longer with these thoughts about who am I and what am I doing here. There is only one, and ask to be shown where you are having difficulty believing that.